You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 23. And in our studies together since this pandemic started, that we started with this very psalm, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we have stayed with that because David is a grand example on how to survive in the valley of darkness, in the facing evil. Never a break, always there, always was there. So, in the light of that, we remind you that we said we need to make sure our hope, our wonderful anticipation and expectation isn't in our, as we turn the pages here, it isn't based on each day of your life just coming and going like we did. It isn't that, because we don't know tomorrow. We don't know an hour from now, actually. So, our hopes, our future, how things are going to go, as we're looking to that, as we shared the other day, the plan, what plan do you have? Where are you headed? And you're headed somewhere, no matter how you cut the cookie, because tomorrow, today becomes tomorrow, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and the calendar and the clock don't stop. So we're heading down the corridor, like it or not. So where are we headed? And we share together to remind ourselves, who cares where you're headed? Who cares where you're going? Who cares how you get there? How many people do you know? Family, friends, enemies. How many people do you know that care like that about your life? They want you to make it where? They want you to make it why? Why do they want you to make it? And so most of us humans are quite content in just plowing along, and we really don't think that far ahead. A, we can't see, and therefore we just plod along. So therefore, we need to have hope, and our hope needs to be in God, who knows all the pages. And God has a wonderful plan for our life, as we've shared 100 times, before we were ever created. And that's what God wants to work out. The plan didn't change. When you were created, the plan was already in motion. So the plan isn't going to go away. It's either we're going to enter into it by coming to know the Lord as our Savior, or we're not. Now, having said that, and so it's God's wonderful working. It's his workmanship working in us, outworking both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we're going down the corridor as believers, and we need to be hoping and looking to God, who knows tomorrow before we ever get there. So we already know that. So we're looking to God to trust him, and that's all he asked. And to do everything that you understand as much as you're able and common sense, et cetera, et cetera. And you do it trusting God, looking to God, and you do it. Each one opens their own refrigerator door. Each one takes out what they want. To the glory of God, if you're saved, assuming you're saved, and know the Lord as your Savior. Now, so having said that, a word that we left out, we purposely left it out at that point. Verse 1, the Lord is my, that's very personal. If it isn't personal, you're sort of stuck, isn't it? The doctor's the doctor. The dentist is the dentist. But when you say, your doctor, my dentist, that's mine. Doctors, but that's my doctor. My dentist. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, my doctor and my dentist. Then the Lord is my shepherd, my personal. That's very, very, you have to be a sheep to enjoy the shepherd. You can't be a wolf. You have to be a sheep to enjoy the shepherd's care. Now, next word. The Lord is my shepherd, and since my is, it's personal, and he has a wonderful assignment to be the shepherd, I shall not want. Now, how does that all fit in? Well, I hope, looking to God, he knows each page. I haven't got there yet, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the outworking of that page. He has a wonderful plan for my life. In other words, I have a day one that I started on planet Earth, and I have a day two that I end on planet Earth. And they're all done in God's mind, and has a plan for all of it to be fulfilled. So we're going down the corridor of time, and God, you tell us as we go, David, you knew it, as we get down the corridor, we shall not want. We shall not want. Now, what does that mean? And how does it mean? Well, the word want is don't you proceed. You aren't going to begin. You aren't going to start wanting to anything, to want something, to be without something, to be destitute, to lock out, to not have it, to not have it in your, to lessen, to take away a definite, I need something. I want, because I'm missing it. Whatever it is, personal, heart, word, thought, deed, what you do, think, say, well, I'm missing something. So we're wanting. Our whole life is wanting. And we're trying to make up. We try to get more food. We try to do all kinds of things, because we're trying to keep bringing it in. And our Lord said that in Matthew 6, remember? He said the world is busy trying to survive and succeed. They're trying to get enough and have enough to keep enough to last long enough to get there. You are not like them anymore. The world. So the world's busy wanting. God, you tell us, the believing heart, not to want. And there's no more wanting. There's no more requisition before you do something, a trip, a military, whatever it is. And you go and requisition your supplies. You requisition what you need, because you're going to start on a journey, and you want to make sure you got everything you need as you go on the journey. So, God, you're telling David, David knew that, because the Lord was his shepherd. He shall not want. He does not have a deficiency, no defects, nothing is diminished. The word is used just to see it. If you had in Genesis, the flood, 150 days, and the flood is diminished. It keeps lessening and lessening and lessening and lessening and lessening. It's going down. It's disappearing. It's wanting. It's wanting. Now, having said that, to catch the target quicker, over to Exodus and chapter 16. Israel to be without, to be in want, to suffer want. And so here's Israel, having been delivered from Egypt. Egypt took care of all their needs as they saw fit, and they lived in the slave's diet, as you know, and that's what they did, and they hunt year after year, century after century. They did that, and that's what they did. And Egypt took care of them because they were their servants, and they did that. They worked hard, and when they couldn't do it, they disappeared. They died. Now, God, what, they crossed the Red Sea. Now, God, what are you going to tell them among 100 things they need to know? A, God is going to take care of them in a wilderness, 2.5 million people or so, with all the thousands of animals. You can't even imagine what that can be like. I couldn't imagine it. Just so. And there they were. And so they had to have water, they had to have food, and God is going to teach them. Now we did the water, bitter water, and God put there so that they would understand life is going to have to be a tough journey, and you're going to have to look to God, Calvary's cross, that made all the wonderful things possible for you. You're going to have to look to God to get so you don't get bitter. You don't want to get bitter, and God will make it so it all comes out. All things work together for good. It'll come out. Now, so here's Exodus 16. We got the water part. What about the food? And God's going to teach him a wonderful lesson. As you know, the manna. And in Exodus chapter 16, picking up in verse 15. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they know not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." So it's God's heavenly bread, and perfectly and full of nutrients. That's all you need, just bread. And therefore God did that, and they were to eat everything. I'm just moving through the context. And verse 17, "And the children of Israel did so, gathered some more, some less. Everyone was to take what they wanted, as much as they wanted, every day." That's what they did. Couldn't go wrong. You want a big bucket, you want a little bucket, you want to have a lap, a sweat, whatever you want to get, as much as you want, whatever you need. Hang on. Now, so therefore, verse 18, "And when they did measure it, and when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. And they gathered every man according to his eating." So, no matter what your diet was, no matter how much you took, you take what you're comfortable. God is going to give it, and you go and take it. And keep running. Verse 19, "And Moses said, let no man leave it till the morning." You get your whatever you want to take. Take seven hamburgers or two hamburgers. Whatever you take, make sure you use them up or throw them out. But don't keep them. So, verse 20, "Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stink. And Moses was wroth with them because they didn't follow instructions." Now that would tell you kept your hamburgers in your little desert cooler out there, and had it out there, and you opened it up, all those little things crawling around in it, and it smelt. So the likelihood of you wanting to save it again, not too much. That's discouraging to save that. So we don't want to save that again. Therefore, picking up if I can, and verse 22. "And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omens, for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And they said unto them, this is... And he said unto them, Moses said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath, the seventh day, unto the Lord. Break that which you will break today, and seethe, boil that." In other words, cook like you do at home. You cook enough, use it, leftovers for tomorrow. That's what you're going to do. You're going to boil some meat or something, whatever you're going to boil. They're going to go and boil whatever you do, and you boil enough for tomorrow. So you aren't going to cook tomorrow. Therefore, verse 23. And he said unto them, verse 23, this is that which this This is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Break that which you break, bake that which you break, and seethe, boil that which you shall seethe, as we read. That which remaineth, never over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. So, 6 days, 6 days, 5 days, you go, and you can't have nothing left over. No matter, everything you need is there, as much as you want. But you can't have any leftovers. No leftovers. On the sixth day, you can take twice amount. Take the twice amount. And on the seventh, and then, you know what? When you take it on the sixth day, it'll stay, it'll never stink, and there'll be no worms in it on the seventh day. I'm teaching you a lesson, he said. On the seventh day, it won't stink. It'll be fresh and just as enjoyable. Now, therefore, starting verse 27, and it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for together, and they found what? God, you every morning you put it down to the ground. When I get out of my tent, whoops, there's nothing there. God told you, gather twice the sixth day, because there'll be nothing there on the seventh day. I want you to do, you're learning to trust me. That's the whole point. That's what the Lord said, Matthew 17. Well, the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, Elijah and Moses. Elijah and Moses out of the way. And you saw 17:8, Jesus only. There's nothing else. No, it's just God. What are you trying to teach them? God, I'm trying to teach them to trust totally, my wonderful person. I died for them, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I have a wonderful plan for their life, and I want to outwork it. They cannot outwork that plan without me. They don't know the plan, they couldn't possibly understand it, and they can't work it out. Therefore, God, you tell them all these things, and the Sabbath day, and all of it, so that you got the idea of it. And now, picking over in verse 35, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited, and they did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now, God, you taught them. You trust God, and you don't try to over-trust, under-trust, you just trust them moment by moment, going down the corridor of time. And when I'm teaching you, there's a time, you're working, work, but on the seventh day, you're resting, you're learning to practice, Hebrews chapter 4, that God has finished what? Before you were ever created, God finished your birth and your death and your eternal existence. Finished. So therefore, what was the rest about? The rest on the seventh day, God was finished. What was Israel to learn? They could have learned it straightway like we could, as opposed to, but they didn't, because they didn't believe God, that God was that special. They didn't believe that. So therefore, they ended up having the law, the Ten Commandments and everything. So by works of the law, which they couldn't do. And so they just never knew. They just never enjoyed. God was trying to help them understand the relationship. They didn't understand it. They will, coming up in the future, but not yet. Now, so having said that little bit, going down, so they were to understand this relationship to God that provided. And God would provide perfectly, and everything taking into account our hope, our journey through time and the pages as liking, trying to outlive as our daily life in whatever way. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, and we go down the corridor, and God, that's what we're doing, and we're trying to outwork it in these special days, to say the least. Now, so having said that, so God, that the Israel didn't learn that. No, they didn't learn it. After 40 years, 40 years ended, we're ending, and Moses is going to die, and they're going to go across the Jordan. So in the 40th year, God, what, 40 years go by, and now, for Moses, you're going to tell them, they didn't understand back here, God has taken care of them perfectly for 40 years, perfectly. No medical, no suit, no clothes wear out, the shoes didn't wear out, nothing. You had never a need. He was the perfect shepherd, providing for his sheep. They didn't believe, but God was doing it to teach them. Now, so when they crossed the Jordan, they should have learned to trust God 1,000% and go against the kings, which they did for a while, judges and all of that thereafter. So now, over to Deuteronomy, the 40th year. What did you say, Moses? Deuteronomy and chapter 2. And in Deuteronomy chapter 2, picking up, please, in thought, chapter 2 going over to verse 7 directly. Chapter 2, Deuteronomy, verse 7. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast, there's your two words, lack nothing. The word want, I shall not want, I shall not lack. Did you lack anything, said Moses, in 40 years? Answer, no. Did you like the journey? Not necessarily, but you never lacked anything. Perfectly, outstandingly. Now, therefore, again, chapter 8. And in chapter 8, may I pick up, please? You know it in the light of context and all of that. Verse 9. The land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack, there's your little word, want, thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass or bronze. Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful thing. Gold, silver, whatever you need, there it is. You didn't have to spend 20 years trying to find the iron, there it is. Whatever you need, God put it right there for him. Wow. Now, having said that a little bit, over to verse 16, and just to, you know, I don't want to read it all, it's wonderful. Verse 16, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove and put thee to the test, to do thee good at the latter end. In other words, God has a wonderful plan if you want to go for it. 17, thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath got me this wealth. How come we have such a good job, a good this? I did it. Ah, I did it. I did it. I made it. Ah. That's what we say. That's what the world says. But, verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power, giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Verse 19, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and serve, worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish, as the nations which thou destroyest before your face, which they're going to do when they cross the Jordan, destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And all you had to do, and so don't start saying, I allowed you to have this. actually, to say it if you want to help it, to get a little thought about it, the reason you and I will breathe the next breath of air is because God gave it to you. Do you understand that? Oh, I don't. Think about it. And one day God's going to take the breath away. I say, I'm in control. No, you're not. No, you're not. Neither am I. Now, having said that a little bit, over to chapter 28. Now, what did Israel do with that wonderful information? And you would remember God told them in chapter 28, it's the blessing. I'll bless you when you go in. I'll bless you when you go out. I'll bless your farm. I'll bless you. Bless everything you do. I'll bless your cooking. I'll bless your food. I'll bless the whole thing. I'll make it all work wonderful. That's all you had to do. I tried to help you with the manna to understand it. So as you proceed now, I want you to learn to keep doing it because you're a special, but you have to do your part and believe and look to me to make it so we're cooperating and showing the angels, the good guys and the bad guys, to showing the world system, why are you having such wonderful success? Why do you have such hope to keep going down the corridor? Because you're trusting God. That's what you need. Now, so here's chapter 28. Remember verse 15 and on. The blessings ended, verse 14 of that. Now you begin the cursings and a very, very lengthy, lengthy list. Now, in that list, over, if you would, chapter 28, verse 15. And in verse 15, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all that his his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Verse 16, and thou shalt be in the city cursed, and thou shalt be in the field cursed. So, 15, and so I gave you the chapter 15, verse 16. Now, verse 48, excuse me. 28, 48, I get 15, because it helps us introduce the cursing. 28, 48, picking up a little word quickly. Therefore, shall thou, I'll read verse 47 for a little context, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of what? All things. You aren't honoring God who takes care of you completely. Therefore, 48, therefore, shalt thou serve thine enemies which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in want of all things. And there's the word want. You're going to be deficient in everything. And when you're captive and you're slaves, see what fun it is. With the Babylonians and the Assyrians, etc., etc. And verse 48 again. And in nakedness and in want of all things, and shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Think of what God does. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. The world isn't going to do that. Your job isn't going to do that. The friends aren't going to do that. No one even thinks like it. We don't even have the equipment. We don't know how to live like that, free. We don't know what it's like apart from God's grace. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, verse 57. And tutor young. Now, what this is, how drastic it can be. I don't. It isn't a particularly good thought to think about. But what were they going to do? Well, when they're going to come, they're going to get surrounded, like in Jerusalem with Titus and that. Over a million people died. Wow. And in the process, what do you do? Well, there's no food. So therefore, what do you do in the whole context? Picking up verse 57. And taught her young one, she that cometh out from between her feet, and taught her children, which she shall bear, for she shall eat them, for want of want, there's your want, deficient. You don't have a way to answer it, do you? What are you going to do? Got to eat something. Got to do something. And that's what they did. It's not just them either. That's what you do. For she shall want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, and wherewith in thine enemy shall distress thee and thy gates. In other words, you're sort of stuck. You either starve to death or do something drastic. How far can our wants go, our deficiency? How far can we want to be deficient, lacking, do not have what we need, to look what we want and need? How far can we go? Pretty far. How far? I'll even kill the other guy to get the benefit. I'll make the guy lose his job to get the benefit. Whatever is needed, how far can we go in wanting to make up what we're looking for, what we're desiring, what we're after? How far? Far. Awful far. Now, having said that, so Israel was warned. Over to Nehemiah chapter 9. And in Nehemiah in chapter 9, picking up, please, in chapter 9, verse 19. 9 and 19. Here's Nehemiah on the other side after the Babylonian captivity. And here's Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 19. Yet thou, in thy manifold mercies, forsook them not. He's rehearsing history. Why do they need to rehearse history? Because the lesson of Exodus 16 wasn't learned. And they forgot the lesson about God's wonderful care. David said, I shall not want, he's my shepherd. But they didn't get it. So therefore, verse 19, yet thou in thy manifold, many-sided mercies forsook them not. In the wilderness, the pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way. Neither did the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherewith they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Verse 21. Yet, yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked, there's your little word, want, they never wanted. They murmured and mumbled, but they never could complain that they didn't have. They never got sick, etc. No pharmacy, no doctors, nothing. Wow, that's awesome. Now, they lacked nothing, verse 24. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not in the hot sand. Wow. God kept them. That's right. God kept them. What are you saying, Nehemiah, to the people that are trying to live in the temple they built in that? Do you understand what we got to remember? If we don't remember it, we're in trouble. That's why you have the book of Malachi. Because we don't remember. We don't remember, did we? Nope. Now, Amos is living, remember, a prophet, living in the days of the 10 tribes in the north that are going to be captured by the Assyrians. But in the process, you will note, Nehemiah, go to chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. I did say Nehemiah. Don't even listen to me. Just pay attention to what you should read and what you should be doing. Amos. My mind rumbles in so many directions at once, it's hard. What can I tell you? Amos, A-M-O-S, Amos.
Amos 4, verse 6. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want, there's your little word, of bread in all your places. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Remember the 10 tribes? They're no priest, no king, all bad guys. All bad guys. The prophets, not all of them, of course, Amos. But their prophets, their priests, all bad. All kings, all bad. Bad, bad crowd. Did they ever fix anything? No. So it kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse, and the Assyrians ultimately took them. So they didn't learn a thing. They didn't learn very much at all. Over, if you would please, to what they should have learned. Here's the king. Over to 1 Kings. And 1 Kings chapter 17. And just a little thought as we're going. So that God, you didn't fit again. Not everyone forgot. Not everyone was indifferent. 1 Kings and chapter 17. And picking up, if I may, in thought, verse 14. 1 Kings 17, 14. Remember Elijah, and God is a widow woman. Verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zion, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee, to take care of you. And remember, the widow woman was about to die. She had nothing. They had nothing. Famine. Wow. What are we going to do? Wow. So what are we going to do? Verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear now not. Remember, she said, we got just a little bit of oil and enough to bake the biscuit. And Elijah said unto her, verse 13, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, and make. Elijah, you're going to go and take it instead of her and the family, the son, children. Uh-huh. I'm going to take it first. Wow, that isn't right, is it? That's not right. What kind of love is that? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. First, second, third. But, no, he's first. He's second. He's third. First, you betcha. You betcha. And you know the little silly illustration of the airplane used to be when you could fly. Now you don't need them. The yellow thing that come down, put over your head. I'll put it in the case of whatever, oxygen. You don't need that. You have your own oxygen. You just wear it. And they have a little tube. And you don't even need those things anymore. Wow. They come down. And they say, they used to say it on the aeroplanes, put the mask on first before you put it on your children or anyone else. Why? Because you won't be able to end up getting it on you. So, well, God, what are you going to say? Well, you said it in the New Testament all over again. You could start doing it. Take heed unto what? Take heed unto thyself first. Why do you keep saying that, God? Because it has to start with you. And you can't help anybody if you aren't helped. Now, so here's Elijah. He takes the bread. Verse 14, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, want, that little word want, to lack, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth, so famine will be ended. So, God, we can have that. So it's a wonderful thing to God. Verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, want, end up. There was always oil, no matter what you did, no matter how much you took out, always oil, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And so the woman had a wonderful education. As long as Elijah was there, there was never a lack, never a lack. So God, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I got to get that. I'm going to catch on here. Wow. Over to Psalm 34. and do it again. And here's David again to help us always. And you will note, please, Psalm 34, picking up in verse 9. I'll even read verse 8. O taste, 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want, there's your little word, I shall not want, there is no want to them that fear him. And verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want, there's your word again, any good thing. Come, ye children, verse 11, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So God, David said, I learned it. How'd you learn it, David? I went through the valley of the shadow of death, in the middle of evil, and I kept a straight course. I didn't deviate. I didn't try to identify with anybody. I didn't try to line up with anybody. I lined up, God, with you, and I went right down the corridor. That's what I did. That was our whole point to get on that corridor, in the valley of the shadow of death, full of hope to make the journey. We want to make the journey, God. That's what we want to do. We want to go down the corridor and make it. So therefore, in Psalm 23, verse 1, you know, I shall not want, I shall not worry, I shall not wish. Or, like the little kid said one day, and asking about it, he, to quote it, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I should worry. I should worry. Why should I worry? He's my shepherd. How can I go wrong? Ah, that's it. Now, so having said that, so God, you're the wonderful one, and the quality, the wonderful quality of that relationship, sheep to the shepherd, the heart of the believer for God's home, a God's temple, as it were. And that relationship gives us a wonderful, wonderful assurance of resources. Without any question, the resources that are there. Wonderful resources. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, in your Bible, over to Ephesians. Oh, before we do that, we got time, maybe. Luke chapter 22. That's on your way to Ephesians. Luke chapter 22. And you will notice Luke 22, and I'm going to go to verse 35 directly. 22:35. Lord, what are you saying to Peter? Remember we did this the other day. Satan desires to tempt you, sift you. Remember we did the nets to get you trapped and tricked. And now here's chapter 22, verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse, without scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And their answer was, nothing. Nothing. Chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, picking up please, in that. And 9 and chapter 9 and 3. Pick it up. Luke 9, 3. And they and this is before that. God's answer. This is what they did. Chapter 9, verse 3. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, sticks, scrip, money, neither bread, neither money, those are all the things you need, neither have two coats apiece. Neither, you only need one coat. One coat. And whatsoever house ye enter into there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever shall not receive you, When you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Chapter 9. Now, having said chapter 9, picking up, if I can, in chapter 10. And in chapter 10, adding to that, verse 4. Carry, remember they're being sent out, 70, verse 4. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. In other words, don't get tied up wrongly in your journey. And what are you going to do? You didn't take anything, did you? I told you to take nothing. I didn't what, Peter, James, John, you guys, you saw them bringing in their net, fishing, they emptying the net and sowing the net, and you know what you said to them? Follow me. Don't go home and tell your wife, Peter. Don't go home and tell the kids. Follow me. And they dropped their net. They're fishermen. They dropped the fish. And they followed him. He only said it once. He never repeated it. Follow me. But. He's God. He's in charge of everything, anywhere, to the total, totally. There's no one anywhere. No bug, no germ, no disease. None. He's in charge. He's the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Ephesians. Just enough to catch it. You know it all. God, you're going to do all that. That's right. I have need of nothing. Ephesians. Hold your finger here. Just one place. Over to James. The book of James. And in James, chapter 1, book of James, chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, trials, testings, knowing what? This, that the trying, putting to the proof, to see if it's the metal is pure, if it's pure gold, need dross, get rid of the dross. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, bearing up under the load. Let patience have her perfect work, her complete work. Now, what's that going to do if I bear up under the load and I keep hanging in there, thinking about God, trusting God properly, as I go down the corridor of time, to outwork His wonderful will in my life? The end of verse 4, that you may be perfect, complete, entire, and then the two words, wanting nothing. Wanting nothing. No. Yes. Wanting nothing. I got a deficient. Oh, I'm going to teach you how not to be. We'll have to do this again. But over, if you would, to back at Ephesians. Because your finger was there. In Ephesians, in chapter 1, in verse 3. God, what are you going to tell us? What would you tell the church, early church in Ephesus and all of us? Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all, A-O-L, spiritual, heavenly supplies from God, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, and our whole resources, the resources you have, are not in the wheat field, they're not in the South African jewel, the great ivory and plutonium, whatever it is, and all those things. No, it isn't finding it out there. Nope. Your resources, because then we're dependent on the weather, everything, aren't we? How things are going to go? How's my work going to go? We're going to sell enough products to keep the company going? Restaurant going? What are we going to do? No, God said, no. Your supply that makes you not want anything.
you will totally be sufficient. I'm giving you all the supplies that come out of heaven. That's where you're getting them. But the weather, no. Your supplies are governed by my heaven. And by the way, there's no deficiency there. So I'm going to take care of you, heavenly. How earthly? Israel's earthly, but we aren't Israel. We're showing the grace of God. We're heavenly. God, you're going to meet all our needs. Heavenly, heavenly. Yes, yes. Now, in closing, just a thing. I just remember, I look at it sometime, a picture. And they're playing chess. You remember that picture? The older man and the young man. And they're playing chess. And the old man has one moving, showing where this man goes. And he moves. And the one showing the old man is the devil. And the devil is showing him how to play the game. That's what's happening in our world right now. And over here's the young man. He's playing against the champion, the god of this world system. How are you going to ever beat him in the chest? Ah, next to him is the angel pointing down, telling him what to move. God. I'm not trusting angels. We have them. We're trusting God. Personally, the Lord is what? My shepherd. My shepherd. Wow.